Our reading text will be starting in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 9 and starting with verse 23. We're just going to be reading two verses here. And I really don't, for myself anyway, I guess there's some people that read maybe one verse of Scripture and preach on it. And typically I have more Scripture. I don't have just a lot of Scripture references for the thought today. So I don't know how long I'll be. I've learned a long time ago not to say I wouldn't be long, because then I lie, and that's not a good thing. But I don't. I just have what I don't think is as big of a thought. But Lord willing, it will be a needed thought and one that will draw us closer to Him. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Just to kind of set the stage, the King James Version of the Bible translates the word there, glory, and it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man glory in his might, the rich man glory in his riches, and it says, but let him that glorieth glory in this. And I don't exactly know why they translated that. Other translations, and if you go back to the Hebrew word, something that might resonate more with us or be more understandable for us would be to boast. To boast. And it has a similar meaning, but it's probably a word that we use more in our culture today, and it's relevant. It is the definition of the word that is used there. So you can also think of it as, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man glory or boast in his riches, but let him that boasteth boast in this. So to glory or to boast, we understand is it's to there's a level of confidence with it. There's a confidence in, and it typically shows itself. We don't usually think of boasting as a good thing. You might think of boasting as someone that is exaggerating, or someone that is. To boast is someone, you know, no one likes a sore loser. No one likes someone that loses and makes excuses and complains or whatnot. But no one likes a boastful winner either. Someone that is going to accomplish something and then tell everyone about how awesome they are and what an awesome job they did, and is going to be boastful in the way that they go about their life. But as I was thinking about this, and I do want to set the stage, it's always important, I think, for us to understand the context of where certain scripture is written. And Jeremiah, of course, he is the prophet. He's prophesying, and he is prophesying and foretelling about the fall of Judah, when they are going to be conquered by Babylon and they're going to be taken into exile. And just before this, the scriptures right before this in chapter 9, there's been, Jeremiah has been telling them about the doom or the judgment, the punishment that is coming, that there's going to be a lot of death, and there certainly was a lot of death that came when the kingdom of Judah was conquered by Babylon. And so he's telling them, he's warning them, and he is prophesying about the destruction that's coming because of their sin. And he makes it clear time and time again, it's because of their sin and their rejection of God. And then he gives these two verses, and then right after this, he compares them to some of the other nations, to Egypt, to Edom, and to Ammon, and to Moab, and essentially saying these are nations that practiced outward circumcision. The Jews were not the only people that practiced circumcision as a as something that they physically did for their male children. But he said that the Jews, or the children of Israel, Judah specifically, was like these other nations, that they may be circumcised on the outside, but that they were uncircumcised in the heart. And so the context here of what Jeremiah is saying, and he's warning Judah, and he's warning the people that are falling into the first category that he talks about, how he talks about wisdom, and he talks about might, and he talks about riches, and he's talking about boasting in those things. And Judah, because they had turned from God, because they had forgotten about Him, and they had rejected Him as their God, and Jeremiah makes it clear that Jeremiah and the other prophets, when they talked about the judgment and the punishment that comes upon the children of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, it really revolved around two things specifically, or two categories, if you will. One being that they served other gods, that they were not worshiping Jehovah, they were not worshiping God as the one true God. They were going off and they were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They were actually sacrificing their children as child human sacrifices to the god of Molech, or there was another one I think that they talked about. And so they in their hearts, they were not serving God and God alone. They were worshiping other gods. And so they had turned from Him and rejected Him as being their one true God. The second thing was what we would call social sin. And it's mentioned time and time again that they were earlier in Jeremiah. It's a few chapters earlier. But he talks about how neighbors were setting traps for each other, and that the cause of the widow and the fatherless and the foreigners, their causes were not being met, were not being heard, and they were being taken advantage of. And those two go together. Because they had rejected God as their God, they had turned to these other gods, their society had become corrupt. And they no longer had the social righteousness. So they were oppressing and taking advantage of the most vulnerable. They were seeking to lie and to steal and to kill and to do things to their own advantage. And so this is the state of affairs of Judah as Jeremiah is prophesying against them. And there, as we look in history, Jeremiah started prophesying when I believe Josiah was king over Judah. And Josiah was actually a good king. He was a king that the Bible gives a lot of praise to, in the fact that he was a king like David. It says that he was like a king that had a heart similar to David's, in that he, from an early age, he took the throne and he established great reform within the kingdom of Judah, and tried to get rid of idolatry, and tried to, the law was brought to King Josiah and was read to him, and he wanted to try to follow the law and implement that. And Jeremiah started at this time, but Josiah's reform did not penetrate deep into the heart of the children of Israel. And so Josiah made a foolish move and ended up getting killed in battle, which if you're reading through the Old Testament, the death of Josiah, to me, it's almost one of the saddest activities, or the saddest events, because he was a good king, and then his pride, and he made a very foolish decision and died when he potentially could have had many more years to be a good king over Judah. But he dies, his son Manasseh comes in, and he's a terrible king. He takes the children of Israel, or the children of Judah, into idolatry more so than they had ever been before. And his son Ammon, and things go downhill very quickly after Josiah dies. And what that tells us is that the reforms, they didn't take root into the heart of the people. And so the people were very quickly to go back to idolatry and to go into it even deeper and in a more severe way than they ever had before. And so here we have the children of Israel, or the children of Judah, in this situation, and Jeremiah is prophesying to them about what's to come. But even within the judgment and the punishment, the foretelling of the punishment that's coming, what you'll find in Jeremiah is pockets of hope and mercy. And there's different times where God will say, if you will turn to me, if you would repent and turn to me, I would love you. I do love you. I would have mercy on you. And we get these two verses, and it seems that, again, it's God trying to reach out to the people, to reach out to them, and to give them a truth about their hearts and a truth about where their hearts should be. And if their hearts would be there, that I believe God would bless them and have mercy on them as He's told them He would. Unfortunately, the children of Judah would not listen. And the destruction, the punishment that was prophesied, it came to pass. They would not repent. They refused. The kings and the priests and the prophets and so many of the leaders, they were corrupt, and they led the people astray. And the people, the idolatry and the wickedness, the social sins, it was so ingrained in their society that it was just wholly corrupt to the very core of their society, their structure, their politics. As we read through these scriptures, though, and we can talk about our society today, and I'm sure that many of you would probably see some parallels when it comes to corruption, when it comes to not putting God first. I mean, we're certainly not in a society that where God and God alone is promoted as the bedrock of our society. And we have freedom of religion in our country. We're not going to get into that today, but our laws are such that we have the ability and the freedom to worship God. At least at this point in time, we're gathered here, and we have laws and religious liberties that are supposed to protect us, at least for the time being. And other religions and people that worship other gods have those same freedoms, at least today. But our country is not set up to be worshiping God and God alone. And we certainly can look out and see that there is a lot of social injustice in our country. And if we're not careful, we'll look out and we'll see that there are the things that I just mentioned about serving God and God alone and social justice. If you look out, what you'll see is amongst God's people and amongst the people that proclaim to be His people, you will see some of the same things, the same corruption, and the same rebellion or rejection of God in Him and His ways and Him alone. What I want to focus on is, as it talks about the boasting, it says, "Let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory or boast in his might, let not the rich man glory or boast in his riches." So he gives three things there, and he follows these up with three things later, and we'll touch on those in verse 24. But what I was thinking about is the children of Judah lived in a society where I think that there were many people that were boasting. They were putting their confidence, and if they were speaking on things, they were speaking on things of themselves. They were speaking on their wisdom. And they had wise men. They were called wise men in their societies. They were supposed to be people that excelled in wisdom. As you think back, you can think of perhaps Solomon was considered to be the wisest man in the world, and that was before this time. But what you see is you see Solomon, and he asked for wisdom, which was not a bad thing to ask for. God gave him wisdom. And so he had wisdom that God gave him, and he had a lot of what we'd consider worldly wisdom of how to navigate situations, how to resolve issues, how to judge in the right way. Unfortunately, that worldly wisdom did not put him in a position such that later in his life, he ended up falling into very severe idolatry as he married a lot of foreign women, and he allowed them to turn his heart, and he allowed them to worship their different gods and goddesses, and he even would participate in that as well. So we see that worldly wisdom in itself does not lead to God and godliness, and we'll talk about that. We see he talks about might, and being strong, physically strong, was seen as something very critical in, I believe, that society. They lived in a time where warfare looked different, and that they had swords and they had spears, and someone that was a mighty physical warrior was someone that was highly favored or and highly esteemed in their society. Perhaps now, I think that you can kind of look at it both ways. Our society maybe has turned a little bit from that. Our warfare, our battles are look a little bit different. Someone that is is extremely sharp at shooting a rifle probably gets a little bit more favor than someone that has some physical strengthening that can swing a sword really well. And then you can get into all of the tactics and the nuclear warfare and all the different things. But there's still an element in our society where physical strength and the strength of an individual person or the strength of an army, the strength of a society, their physical strength, the strength of their army, what they're able to do, the size of their army, how well prepared they are. And I'm not saying that those things are bad in and of themselves. I certainly am not in favor of our nation discarding our armed forces completely and having no preparation for events that could come. But what are we boasting in? They were boasting in their might or the might of their partnerships. They were trying to make allegiance with different countries, whether it was Egypt or Assyria or whoever it may be. And so they were trying to use their wisdom, they were trying to use their might, or they were trying to use their riches. And these were three things that in a worldly society people can often boast on. And when we look at our society, probably it looks different, but I would say there's a lot of similarities there as well. Our society, in so many ways, it promotes us to be boastful of ourselves. And it's embedded in so many different places in our society. When you're in school, there's different competitions and there's a promotion of trying to stand out as someone that is smart, as someone that can perform really well and make really good grades and perform well on exams and tests, which are so very prevalent in our education system today. But there's something there, and I was a part of it. You're in school and you start to apply for scholarships, and what do you have to do? Well, you have to give them your GPA, and that's going to be compared against others to determine who gets the scholarship. You might have to write an essay, and your ability to be able to write on a topic and to bring out certain points, and your ability, the effectiveness of your writing is going to be judged. And so you find self-promotion being a part of the education experience. Maybe you or your children, maybe they're not cut out to be a straight-A student. Bless them, they try their hardest, but math or science or English or whatever it is, they're going to make a C on it no matter how hard they try. But hey, they're athletic. They can play sports. And so they get into sports. So what do you do? Well, a lot of times you may have to try out for a team. And if you're going to try out for a team, your skills and your abilities are going to be put against those of others. And if you don't have as strong of skills and abilities in that sport, you might not make the team. Or you may be like me and you may make a team, but you may end up sitting on the bench for a good part of it like I did in baseball, because I didn't have the same talents and abilities and certainly not the confidence that many of my teammates had. So I got to play some, but There's a part of it. You start to look at your abilities. You start to look at whether it's your knowledge or your wisdom and your ability to make grades, or your talents and your physical ability, your athleticism to be able to play a sport in some way. And if you're really good at it, if you're really good at something, what you'll find is people will start to notice and pay attention and start to give you praise. They'll start to praise you for your good grades. They'll start to praise you when you get the MVP, you hit the home run, you make the touchdown pass, you hit the free throw that wins the game. You go on a little bit, you get a little bit older, and maybe you don't, your time in sports, you're not going to become a professional athlete. So you get a job. Well, not that being a professional athlete is not a job, but you get a job and you work for a company somewhere. So what do? Well, probably you have to put a resume together. And what is a resume? Well, a resume talks about your skills, your abilities, your experiences, and it's really what you're trying to put together to convince an employer that you are good enough that they should hire you and give you a job. And then with that resume, you may very well go to an interview where you're going to be asked questions. And if it's a competitive market, if there are a lot of people that are applying for the job, then you're going to be interviewed along with everyone else, and you are, in some ways, you're trying to convince the employer that they should hire you, that you are the better or the best candidate for that job so that you get the job. And then you may do that a series of times throughout your life as you maybe change careers, or you want a different job, or you want a promotion, and you want to get a pay increase, you want to get a different title, you want to have more responsibilities in the job that you're doing or the company that you work for. There's so many different ways in our society where we are encouraged, and just our society sort of functions in a way where we are incentivized, whether it's by money, by a salary increase, whether it's by accolades, by praise, by people noticing us and praising us for whatever that we have been able to do. Attention. Some people crave attention, and they don't get attention. Maybe they haven't received attention from their families the way that they should have. And they find something where if they can get good at it, they get attention. And they can put so much of their time and energy into it, and it can be such an important part of their identity that they become boastful, that they draw their confidence from those grades or that sport or that job. That hobby, maybe you're a hunter. You hear a lot of hunters talk about how good of a shot that they are. A fisher. It's interesting. I went fishing a little bit with my grandparents. I found it to be rather boring, sitting around in the boat, and you might catch a fish, you might not. But some people love it. But it's interesting. You start to hear you have fishing competitions, and there's the art of fishing, and the different lures, and the different equipment that you can buy, the different locations, how you do it, how you cast, how you reel the fish in, and something that I kind of attributed to being the luck of the draw of whether the fish would bite or not. Apparently, there's some skill involved in it. Maybe that's why I didn't catch very many fish. But no matter what it is that we do, if you're into crafts and you're into sewing or into creating things, there or a painter and paint and an artist. I have a cousin that has really good artistic abilities in the way that she can draw and paint, and she's in school right now, and she aspires to use those in what I sounds like a very wonderful way to do art therapy and help others. And she, I'm amazed at her abilities because that is something that I just do not have. My ability to be able to create, like to draw or to paint, that visual representation is just not a talent, an ability that I have. And so I'm very impressed by what she does. But whether you are a sewer or a painter or whatever it is that you may do, again, there can be a pride, there can be a boastfulness, there can be something associated with that, because those things can generate a lot of praise. They can generate a lot of recognition. There is so much in our society, wherever you go, whatever you do, if you're not careful, your ability to be able to promote yourself, because in so many things, you if you want an opportunity, you have to go out and you have to put some stuff together and try to prove that you are worthy of that opportunity. So many of these things, as we talked about in Sunday school, we mentioned sports, but any of these things would apply. They're not bad in and of themselves. In fact, you're probably going to spend some of your time and energy on something, whether it is sports or whether it is reading books and gaining some type of knowledge, and some of that would probably be worldly knowledge of science or math or in English and different things like that. Many of us are going to have a job and we want to perform well at that job, and many of us probably will be in a position where we need to be able to mention what we have done in our jobs, what God has allowed us to do, and to be able to get another job or to be able to do something different. These things are not inherently bad in and of themselves. Arts and crafts are not bad. Sports are not bad. They're trying to excel in school and make good grades and recognizing how that can support you in the future. It's not bad in and of itself. But our society, our church, and we're ingrained in this. We're not immune from it. Is that we're at a place and we're in a society where if we're not careful, our boasting, our confidence will be in wisdom, might, and riches. It will be in our accomplishments, our achievements, our talents. Whatever it may be, we can boast in those things. Our confidence can grow in those things. And we become those things. We aren't just someone that plays sports. We are that sport. We're not just someone that paints. We are a painter. We're an artist. It becomes our identity and how we interact with the world and how we see ourselves. And when things start to go wrong and things start to fall apart and we start to get troubles and trials, it can be the thing that we try to turn to in some way to get us out of trouble or to numb the pain that we feel. It was true for Judah, and it's true for us today. Let us be careful what we boast in. Let us be careful in our thoughts and in our words. How much time and effort and energy we're spending promoting ourselves in some way, promoting our talents, our abilities, our resources, whatever it may be, let us be cautious and try to be aware of how much time and what we're doing, what we're thinking when we think of ourselves. Because as we get into verse 24, it says, "But let him that glorieth glory, or that boasteth, boast in this." If you're going to boast, don't boast in your wisdom, your worldly wisdom. Don't boast in how strong or mighty you are. Don't boast in your riches. Don't boast in your talents. Don't boast in your achievements. Don't boast in those things. But if you're going to boast, boast in this, that He understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There are things that God delights in. There are things that He cares about that are far, far, far more important than the achievements and the abilities and the talents and the resources that we have or accumulate that we might try to boast in ourselves. He specifically calls out loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He delights in loving kindness, which the word loving kindness there is just said. It's more often, I believe, in the Old Testament translated as mercy. But it is God, in the context of God, it is His loving kindness, His mercy toward mankind. And it is a selfless, it is not an earned thing, it is a given thing. God delights in loving kindness, in mercy, much more so than He delights in wisdom. If you're going to have to choose between being a know-it-all and being someone that gives mercy towards others, give mercy towards others. He's going to delight in that far more than what you know in this world. He delights in judgment far more than somebody's might. There are those that can accumulate a lot of strength, whether it's physical strength or maybe it's in the power and the control that they're able to have, and they can gain all sorts of might, and they use it to pervert justice and judgment. And then there are those that are weak. Maybe they're physically weak. Their bodies are frail. They don't really have the power to do much of anything in this world, but are going to be fair in their judgment. And God delights in that far more. And righteousness, and that righteousness could be in some cases translated to justice, but righteousness, to be righteous, is far better than any sort of riches. So He compares these three, the things that we could boast in of ourselves, the riches and the might and the wisdom. And someone that knows what they're doing can have those things and recognize that they're not really theirs at all. They come from God. If you're wise, it comes from God. If you have strength, it comes from God. If you have riches, it comes from God. But having those things is much less important than having righteousness, judgment, and loving kindness. But how are you going to get those things? He delights in those things. You're going to have those things by what? By understanding and knowing God. If you're going to boast, boast in this, that you understand and know God. Now, we have to be a little bit careful. That doesn't mean that we get to boast. We get to be the person that always beats everyone else at Bible trivia. We're not talking about boasting in being somebody in our knowledge of God. It can happen. We joke, we laugh, but it's true. There are people that have made millions of dollars by coming across as someone that has a lot of knowledge about God. It's not the knowledge. It's the knowledge of Him, of who He is, of His heart. My wife printed out some prayers. They're on cards, and they're up in Lily's room. And when we put Lily to bed at night, we recite those, the prayer. It's one for each day of the week. And there's different ones on different days. I don't remember what all of them are. But you know, none of those prayers ask for her to be some superstar when it comes to her grades or her wisdom. None of them talk about her becoming some amazing athlete or some powerful politician. And they don't talk about, there is one that talks about having financial wisdom and being able to use resources wisely. And I believe that's true. When we are given resources, I believe that God wants us to use them wisely. And I pray for that for my daughter. But the prayer doesn't go, may she be rich beyond her wildest dreams. But the prayer on Sunday, which is my favorite, it's short and easy to remember. Maybe that's one of the reasons. But it says to know God and tell others. And if my daughter and all the my next daughter and whatever future children to come, if by the end of their life they don't have hardly any of these things that are talked about at the beginning, if they just struggle through school, that's going to be hard for me in some ways. Because if I'm honest, I fell into the category, and I still do if I'm not careful, of boasting in wisdom that I cannot draw a stick figure worth anything, but God has given me a talent to be able to use intelligence to understand certain things. Now, not everything. When it comes to engineering and building certain things with my hands, there's a lot of things that I'm not very good at. But there's certain concepts I believe that God has given me a talent for. And I had it from a young age to be able to read well and to be able to read and understand concepts, and it just came easier for me than I know that it comes for other people. And that's just, it's something that God gave me, but it has been something that I have allowed myself to boast in. It has been an advantage in some ways in this world. It was an advantage in school. It made it easier for me to make good grades and to apply for scholarships and to have a good GPA that I was then able to use that helped me to be able to get a job. And I have boasted and I have taken pride in that in the past. And so I can imagine having a child that really struggles in school and in learning and in understanding concepts and in reading. I think that would be hard for me because it's something that I have had pride in, and that if I'm not careful, there would almost be an element of shame in that, to have a child that's not able to read well. But I pray that God will help me to get over that, because if my children can't read well, if they don't ever have a lot of strength or power, if they don't ever accumulate a lot of riches or wealth or resources in this life, if they know God, that's it. That's it. And if they know God, and if they think that way, if their heart, their attitude is that way, then the other things, because then we don't have to boast in those things. You don't have to boast in yourself when you boast in knowing God. And then you realize it's His loving kindness. Does He want me to be merciful and have loving kindness toward others? Absolutely. You know where it comes from? It comes from Him. It comes from my relationship with Him. People can do good things, they can give money to charities, and they can volunteer their time. They can do things and not have any belief in God or any, and you know, there's people that proclaim to be atheists, and they can do certain things that are helpful to other people that are in need. But make no mistake, mercy and loving kindness and righteousness and judgment and justice, ultimately those things come from God. And whenever we see those here in this world, it is a reflection of His character. And as we know Him, as we come to know Him, as our identity, as who we are, becomes in understanding and knowing God, those things, I believe, will fall into place. Because to know God is to love God. I said that it's not about your knowledge of God. It's seems like there's maybe a trend now. I don't know if a trend is the right word, but there are several people that, at least in the world, were considered to be high up in the religious world, maybe as a pastor or a musician or someone that had spent a lot of time either singing songs or writing books about God, that has since revoked their faith and said, "I don't believe in this anymore." Their knowledge was not a true knowledge of God. A true knowledge, or if it was, they're in a prodigal son state and they'll return. But a true knowledge of God, when you truly find out about God, when you come to understand Him and know Him, not just what some preacher tells you about the Bible. There's a lot of people, their knowledge of God is that He sits on a cloud and strikes people with lightning bolts when they make a mistake. That is not the knowledge of God. That is not the understanding of God. When you understand and know God to be the Creator of the universe and your loving Father, and you feel that and it affects your life, you feel it in the depth of your soul, it changes you. The Bible teaches us that. Having a true, deep relationship with God changes your heart. Just one more verse here as we close in the 34th Psalm. The 34th Psalm, will start with verse 1. This is a Psalm of David. It says, "When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed, and he departed." So this is a Psalm of David. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." You want to make a difference in the world? The world will tell you that, you know, to make a difference, and there are ways. There are people that have worldly wisdom and they have power and might. They have riches, and those things give them a certain ability to affect the world. The President of the United States has the ability to affect the world. He will. He or she. It may be a she someday. We don't know. But that person has the ability to affect the world. They will affect the world. The current one does, whether you like it or not. The previous one did, whether you liked him or not. It's a position of power, and it affects the world. There are billionaires out there. They affect the world. They have the means to do that with their financial influence. And there are people that are known to have a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and they can affect the world in the advice that they give and the books that they write and the people that are drawn to them. Sometimes maybe those things can be used in a positive way, and very often they can be used in a negative way. But you know, when they are used in a positive way, it's because of God. If you want to have an impact on the world, and as we talked about in Sunday school, if you want to have an impact on your children, then be known by how you know God. Boast in God. Know Him and tell others, because the humble will be glad when they hear it. Those around us, boasting in ourselves is going to have very little impact on them. But boasting in God, lifting Him up, praising Him for what He has done and who He is and who we are and are becoming because of Him, that will have a difference on our church family, on our blood family, on our children, on our neighbors, and on the people that we interact with in the world. They will see something. Now, they may reject it. That's between them and God. But if we know God, if that becomes the main thing that people recognize in us, they're going to recognize other things. If you have an ability to sing, people are going to notice that. If you sing at all, they're going to hear it and they're going to notice that. If you have talents and abilities, it's not that people are going to just not see those at all. But if that is not who you are, if who you are is a child of God and someone that is spending a life coming to know Him better, if that is what they see, God's going to delight in that, and it's going to have an impact on them. And those other things that they may see, they're just going to become richer and more beautiful as they're used for the honor and the glory of God. So in a society that is going to try so very hard to get us to promote ourselves and to promote who we are and to identify ourselves in these different things of the world, I encourage you. Children that are growing up, I encourage you. You're going to participate in these things. You're going to go to school. You may play some sports. You may hunt. You may fish. You will probably most likely get a job at some point in your life. But try not to let yourself get swallowed up in promoting and being yourself. But be God's and know Him.